In 1967, Senator George McGovern said he was not an advocate of unilateral withdrawal of our troops from Vietnam. Now, of course, he is.
One of these candidates is Bill Clinton. Unfortunately, so is the other.
Newt Gingrich has been on both sides of a long list of issues.
He went the other way when he got paid to go the other way.
In which direction would John Kerry lead? Kerry voted for the Iraq War, opposed it, supported it, and now opposes it again.
I actually did vote for the $87 billion before I voted against it.
Well, Newt Gingrich was for health care mandates before he was against them. Rick Perry, on Tuesday, abortion in cases of rape was allowed. On Wednesday, it wasn't. Mitt Romney, climate change, health care, abortion, the list goes on. John Kerry famously or infamously voted for the Iraq War before he voted against it. This is a brief history of the flip-flop. Everyone changes their mind, only a fool doesn't. But here's the question. When is a change of heart or a change of mind a mature evolution of thinking, and when is it just political opportunism? Joining us to help answer these questions is Kathleen Hall Jamison, director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania, currently in Hawaii. Lucky you, Kathleen.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us this morning. Now, we gave a brief history and a very brief history of the flip-flop there in that opening montage. You've analyzed this idea both in this campaign and historically. Where does the idea of flip-flopping actually originate?
In the history of the modern presidency, 1972 is the first year in which a candidate effectively uses inconsistency as a charge against another in a visually evocative ad. The ad showed a placard of McGovern flipping from side to side, weather vane-like, and it asked the question, last year, this year, what about next year? Democrats for Nixon. The ad was effective, gained traction, hurt McGovern.
So they actually had a visual of the placard flip-flopping back and forth as though the wind were changing directions, and that gave the visual sort of stimulus to the rhetorical flourish of what we now call the flip-flop.
And the visual incarnation matters. Sometimes the visual image is what you remember, even if you can't remember the specifics. Gives you a sense that you just can't trust that person.
That Bill Clinton ad that we played in the montage had a split screen of two Bill Clintons. The famous John Kerry ad had him windsurfing, first one way and then the other way as the wind blew. So that visual was important there. Now, Kathleen, charges of flip-flopping are flying all over this Republican presidential primary right now. Let's start with Newt Gingrich. He used to be four mandates, health insurance mandates. Mitt Romney was two, not to mention his change in positions on abortion, climate change, and health care. Listen to this.
Yes, I used to be for mandates. I was wrong. Why doesn't Mitt admit it? He's still for the mandate in Massachusetts. It doesn't work. It's going to bankrupt the state. The difference between Romney and me is we both used to have the wrong idea. I'm willing to say it was the wrong idea. He's not.
Now, that's Newt saying flat out, yes, I changed my mind. I was wrong. Is there a history of voters being okay with, quote, a flip-flop as long as a candidate can explain it adequately?
Once it's called a flip-flop, you have some trouble. The ideal occurs when the candidate preempts the charge, and Ronald Reagan did that very effectively in 1976. He had been a Democrat and become a Republican. His explanation, I didn't leave the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party left me.
Smart.
Question for candidate, how plausible is your narrative? Does the story of the change make sense? And would a reasonable person say, yes, in those circumstances, I'd make that change too?
Now, Mitt Romney has had what a lot of his opponents call a flip-flop on abortion, and he has tried to do exactly what you just explained, Kathleen Hall Jamison, explain his own shifting position on abortion in a way that reflects evolving thinking. Let's let Mitt speak for himself.
With regards to abortion, I changed my mind. With regards to abortion, I had the experience of coming into office, running for governor, saying, you know, I'm going to keep the laws as they exist in the state. And they were pro-choice laws, so effectively I was pro-choice.
Now, Mitt Romney is doing this retroactively, not proactively, in the way that you said Reagan did.
First, it's attractive to hear a candidate say, I changed my mind, and not simply try to rationalize and say, no, that actually wasn't a real change. You see, if you really understood this, you'd think that it was consistent. So that acknowledgement suggests that perhaps the candidate learns from his own mistakes. That's attractive. Then the question becomes, do you see the moment of change, and is that plausible? You have the same question with Rick Perry, who went through what he says is a transformation after he watched a DVD called The Gift of Life. That's a very powerful transformation on abortion, and it occurs because, he says, of that CD. Well, who's on that DVD? That's Mike Huckabee, winner of the Iowa caucuses in the last election, and if that created that moment of change, that should be powerful to social conservatives, if you believe that's what really happened to Rick Perry. How well did he deliver it? He delivered it pretty effectively.
Big question of timing on that transformation for Rick Perry, though, a week before the Iowa caucus in a state where he needs to stoke conservative support.
But he saw the film in a time at which others watched him watch the film. And as a result, they were there in some important sense when the transformation occurred. The challenge always for the candidate is it a plausible narrative? Would you, as a reasonable person in those circumstances, make that change? And is the change in the direction the voter would like to have seen the change made? Does it simply look opportunistic if it is? And if it doesn't, well, it might be a sign of candidate maturity. That is, the candidate is matured toward your vision, you, the voter.
Kathleen Hall Jamison, briefly, you know, one of these people is going to go up against the president, Barack Obama. I can name a few places where he hasn't fulfilled promises. Gitmo is still open. What are a couple others? The president has not fulfilled several campaign promises, but he's incredibly deft at not being branded a flip-flopper. Is he vulnerable?
The difference between promise not kept, the promise performance argument, and flip-flop is the fact that it's not going to be framed the same way. There's no comparable language to the language of flip-flop for us to indict someone for not keeping a promise. That just looks like failed leadership.
All right, I think we may have found that point of inflection between evolution and flexibility and the naked flip-flop and political opportunism. Kathleen Hall Jamison is director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania. Thank you so much for joining us. Listeners, all right, this is on you. Keep the conversation going. Is changing your mind a bad thing? Have you flip-flopped? A listener in Philly writes us, progress requires people to change their minds to learn when their beliefs are not actually true. I think flip-flopping is a different thing. I perceive it as a change of message, not necessarily a change of mind. What's the difference for you between changing your mind and a naked flip-flop? Share it. Tell us your view by calling 8778-MY-TAKE.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.